The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
A lot of praying, a lot of commitment. We have an assignment in the coming weeks. We have an assignment in the coming weeks. And I want your heart to be steered up for what we're going to do in this week. I'm teaching on beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. I'll be teaching, I'll be preaching, and I'll be showing you a video clip. All of them this morning. I'm showing a very short video clip when I'll be closing and all that. Hallelujah. Okay, this is supposed to be... Which angels are supposed to be here again? Okay, they didn't come this morning, so you could just... yes. Don't worry, nobody's going to beat you. We're helping the ushers. God bless you. You don't want to take Angel Yudia's place. Okay, very well. Hallelujah. Beautiful feet. Romans chapter 10. Meanwhile, the choir has been awesome since this morning. Right? Now, I was telling myself, I was sitting down here, I'm just going to go back and watch this praise session over again. Hallelujah. It was very powerful. Praise God. You have to appreciate them. Because the other day you laughed at them. You laughed at them. And this wasn't how you laughed at them that day I spoke to them. So you better clap for them the same way you laughed at them. The same way. Hallelujah. Very powerful ministration this morning. I'm not just the ministration, from the praise to the worship to everything. Hallelujah. Bless God. Beautiful feet. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8. But what said it? He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Okay? For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Okay, so he said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. So we find out from verse 9, he began to talk about what the gospel is all about, or rather how people get saved. He said they will just believe in their heart, and they have to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and then they are saved. So he explains that and gets to a very crucial part of this. He got to verse 14. From verse 13, he said, anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 14, he now began to explain the process of salvation properly. He said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So salvation is by believing, right? But notice again. And okay, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So what will precede believing? Hearing. Are you following?
And how shall they hear without a preacher? So who will bring the hearing?
A preacher.
And so the process of salvation is, the next verse now said, how shall they preach except they be sent? So the process of salvation is, somebody sends the preacher. The preacher brings the word. The sinner hears the word. The sinner believes the word. There is no other process of salvation apart from what I showed you now.
You get what I said now?
There is no other salvation process apart from what I showed you now. No other. What I mean is, there is no other thing you can do to get people saved. Not even prayer. Okay? I've explained, prayer can prepare the way to salvation, or prayer in itself cannot give it. Not even prayer, not even dancing. You can't dance people into salvation. Not even guilt-tripping. You can't guilt-trip people into salvation. The only way people can be saved is that the word is brought and they hear. Then verse 15 now says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now, notice it says, as it is written. So when the Bible said, as it is written, it means the writer is quoting from somewhere. Is that correct? It means the writer is not the original owner of that statement. So where did he lift it from? He lifted it from Isaiah 52 and verse 7. That's where Paul quoted that quoted from. Okay, he said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that said unto Zion, thy God reigneth. He said, how beautiful is the person's feet. That word beautiful, if you check it in the Greek, that's the one in Romans 10, from the Greek, is the Greek word horaios. That's H-O-R-A-I-O-S. It can actually mean something that is fine. But in many places, it means timely. Right hour, right season. Okay, it means something is timely. I get the point. It means something that is timely. That's how it appears. If you have a Greek concordance, you can check it. Horaios. It means timely, right hour, or season. It can also mean beautiful, as in something being fine. I didn't get the point. But then, in that place, talking about how timely it is. So you see Paul talking about two things. He's talking about, first of all, the fact that he's describing the pleasure of sharing the word, or pleasure of being involved in sharing the word. But then, most importantly, showing that to share the word is a timely thing to do. So you could see Paul saying, how timely are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And so when you bring the word of God to someone, it's a timely thing. You know what it means for something to be timely? Okay, it means it didn't come late. I didn't get the point. It didn't come late. So it's a timely thing to do. It's a seasonal, you know, they say there are things for the season. Uh-huh. It's a seasonal thing to do. To bring the word of God to people. That is what should be done in this season. Which season is that? This season. Which season is that? 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. Which season is that? It's a timely thing to do. It's how timely are the feet of those that bring the gospel. He said, what season is that? He said, for he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is what? The day of salvation. So because today is the day of salvation, bringing the word of God to people now is a timely thing to do. Hallelujah. It's a timely thing to do. And that's why we take the word to people, because that is the season. Now listen to me, friends. Why I always teach on evangelism, and I'm very firm when I'm talking about it, you see, is because, you know, the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. Do you understand what I said now? What I mean is, if before you could preach to someone, the person has died, it's no more good news. The gospel is still good news. It's still good news, amen. But to that person, it's not good news. Hallelujah. Because, so But is how timely are the feet of those. So when you find yourself taking the word to someone, you are doing a timely thing. That's why when I'm preaching the gospel to people, I preach with my life, actually, with everything in me. Okay, you know, sometimes you're preaching to the person, you're almost crying because you know you are bringing a timely word. You need this thing now. Let me get it. You know that's what the person needs now. And so preaching the gospel is a timely event. And indeed, it's a beautiful thing to do this. It's a beautiful thing to do this. In Proverbs, for instance, at 11 verse 30, the writer refers to it, first of all, it refers to people that do it as wise people. He said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Like I always say, he that does not win a soul is foolish. It is foolishness for a believer not to be involved in soul winning. It is wisdom to win a soul. Some people think they are smart, and they don't know they are being foolish. They think they are smart when there is dancing festival, they appear in church. When there is outreach, they make excuses. You are smartly foolish. The Bible said, he that winneth a soul, winneth souls, is wise. You're just being smartly foolish. You're trying to make an excuse. You're trying to give one reason why you will not come or why you may not come. I want you to come to a point this morning when you begin to understand and begin to enjoy outreach or evangelism. I can tell you the truth. One of the greatest joys I had coming into Christ was bringing other people into Christ. I didn't get a point. He that will win a soul is wise. He that will not win a soul is not being wise. As a matter of fact, this soul winning is our assignment. It's our assignment. In 1 Corinthians 9, for instance, and verse 16. So apart from the fact that you are doing a wise thing by winning a soul, Paul will say, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. He said, for necessity is laid upon me. He said, that even if you are preaching the gospel, that is not something you should brag with. Do you understand the point? It's not something you should brag with. Why? When you do your job, you don't brag with it. Do you understand now? When you do what you are supposed to do, you don't brag with it. It's a necessity is laid upon me. He said, if I don't preach the gospel, I'm bringing a war upon myself. Now, you need to listen to me, friends. It is a wise thing to do. I don't know how to communicate this. It's a wise thing to do to begin to get involved in soul winning. At whatever level you are in your Christian life, it's a wise thing to do. You know, recently I was just thinking, and I found out that being a pastor and at the level that we are and that God is bringing us to can be a bit limiting. I didn't get the point. The only time the only time you have to win souls will be when you mount on stage to talk, or you know, when you write books, or when you will have little time to do a lot of one-on-one evangelism and all that. And I was recently feeling very bad about that. And that's why every opportunity I get to win, I maximize it. Because you know, friends, it is wisdom to win souls. Are you getting the point? It is wisdom. It is foolishness to escape from soul winning. You think you are being wise. People think they are being smart. That in every other thing apart from teaching, apart from soul winning, that in every other thing apart from outreach, you know, it's not being wise at all. It's being foolish. You're like a foolish son. You know who the foolish son is? The man who his father... Because that's what many believers are doing. His father has a very big enterprise, very, very wealthy man, and left everything for him. Say, just enjoy. All you have to do is get involved in running this company to grow it. Every father would say the same, right? So while you are enjoying the money I left for you, just get involved and be growing the company. A foolish son will focus and be eating the money and will not work on enlarging and expanding that company. And that's what many believers are doing. They're happy, they're righteous, they're happy, they're sanctified, they're happy, they're saved, they're happy Jesus loves them, they're happy with all of those, they're celebrating it, enjoying the benefit of redemption, yet they are not participating in expanding the kingdom they came into. You are a son, quite all right, but you're a foolish son. Are you what I'm saying? That's why, that was what I was thinking over when that song we just did now came. That's why the first line of that song is, we rejoice in the release of our redemption. That's the first line. We rejoice. It's okay, but you don't stop there. After you rejoice in it, as you are enjoying it and rejoicing it, I'm righteous, I'm holy. The next thing is that your city should begin to get light, get the same light that you have. Are you following me at all? And so, it's our assignment. And not just that it's our assignment. I've kept saying, when you preach the gospel, you are stirring joy in people. I hope you know that. In Luke 15 verse 17, I used to call it a threefold joy. A threefold joy. In Luke 15 verse 17, he said, and when he came to himself, he said, sorry, not Luke. Is it Luke? Verse 7 rather. Luke 15 verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 other persons which need no repentance. Sorry. Which need no repentance. Now, he said when you preach the gospel and then the sinner gets saved, say heaven rejoices, right? Right? Now, apart from heaven rejoicing, you also realize that when you preach salvation, the sinner himself is rejoicing too. And like I always say, you are rejoicing too when the person gets saved. So it's a threefold thing. You are joyful someone is saved. The person saved is joyful. Heaven is joyful. I didn't get the point. You deny yourself some privileges for not preaching the gospel. Let me say this before I move on. Apart from everything I'm saying, you need to also realize and don't forget that there is a reward for preaching the gospel. You see, heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a place of reward. Do you get the point? Heaven is our home. Heaven is what we will receive for being believers. We are already born again. But then when we get to heaven, there would be a reward for how we did our work here on earth. And how we preach the gospel would count. Go back to that 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. He said, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Verse 17. And now said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Are you getting the point? If you do it, there is a reward. Now, I'm not going to talk about the reward, because I want to talk practically on how to get involved in sowing and all that. But then, I just want to know there's a reward. For instance, there's a reward you're going to receive at the judgment seat of Christ for soul winning. If you are involved in winning souls, when we get to heaven, we are going to be rewarded. We are going to be rewarded. And I always say, so many people ask me, what reward is that? Are they going to give us cars in heaven and stuff? And I tell them, well, I really don't want to know. But one thing I'm expecting to get from Jesus is well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? That's what I'm expecting to get from Jesus. Like when you get there, you say, wow, well done, good and faithful servant. You did your job well. That's what I want to get from him. And so that's going to be a reward. I wouldn't want you to get into heaven and all you had was that you came into heaven. That's why I told you that story. When that man was about to die, that soldier, he began to sing that song. He said, must I go? Not even with one soul to say, okay, Father, thank you. Hallelujah. So there's going to be a reward when we get this. I want to challenge you to begin to see soul winning as your thing, fully your thing. And begin to decide to get involved with it, no matter at whatever level you think you are. Are you following me this morning? Are you following me this morning? Because it's a beautiful thing to do. Make your feet beautiful, amen? It's not by putting cream on it. Neither is it by what else? It's not by anything. It's by engaging those feet. Okay, engaging your feet.
See how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. So, if you are going to do this within this period, I'm going to share some things with you. Some practical things that will help you. Amen? Praise God. Some practical things that will help you. But you must be ready. You must be ready. What you need to realize is that there are souls to save. There are many souls to save. And if you don't realize the implication of someone not being saved, it means a lot of terrible things. It means the person is in darkness. It means the person is a child of Satan. It means the person is going to hell. And if you are thinking, what's my own? They should go to hell. Then I'm going to pray for you this morning. Because it means you are not maximizing the love of Jesus in your heart. For mankind, Jesus took on flesh and died. And we cannot watch the man he died for end up in hell and remain under the dominion of Satan. Like what I'm talking about. So you need to realize that there is a call, there is a burden on all, as an assignment on all of us. Let me say this to you. Paul would say something in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15. He said he died. So the reason Jesus died is not just to give you eternal life. No. If the only thing you know is that Jesus died for you to receive eternal life, then you've heard the half message. He said, and that he died, that they which live should henceforth live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the reason he died, so that those of us he died for, that have accepted the message, that have believed in him, should stop living for ourselves and start living for him. You get the point? So that is a surrender part of Christianity. Are you getting me at all? That's a surrender part, a part of the way you surrender your life. Where you begin to use your life for the service of the kingdom. Where you are involved in winning the lost. There are a lot of men who are dying, who are going to hell. You know the amazing thing? There are a lot of believers, younger and older than you are, who are out there slaving for the kingdom and winning souls for him. And there are also some foolish ones who will never do anything. I didn't get the point. There are some foolish ones who will never do anything. And so, be a son. Be a son that is valuable. Be a son that is wise. Be a son that is useful. When people say things like preaching the gospel, I don't feel like preaching it, or I'm not even getting involved. What exactly do you want to live your life for in this life? What do you want to do with your whole life? What do you want to do? What's your assignment? What do you want to do? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to achieve? What gives you joy? You're always saying, nothing is all satisfied. Jesus, is that really true? What really gives you joy? And you don't want to see, you don't really feel like preaching. Or this preaching thing is not really your thing. What then is your thing? What excites you? What trips you? What's your obsession? Praise God. What's your obsession? When you think about church, what obsesses you? Dancing? Is it dancing or is it singing or is it... What exactly is it? There should be an obsession in your heart to win the lost. There should be something in you that wants to see people saved, that wants to see men come to light. There should be something in you that wants to see thousands of people come to light. I'm going to show you some videos, for instance, when we close it, of some of the beautiful things that some missionaries are doing all over Africa. Okay? Currently, the Christ for All Nations, they are on a vision of winning 150 million souls. 50 million souls. This is normal human beings like you and I. You should, and then what really obsesses you, or when you hear these things, you say, that's for the pastors. Who are you again? Who are you again? Say, that's for the pastors, or that's for me, I'm not ready for this ministry thing. You must know there is an assignment. An assignment you have.
You might not be a pastor, you might not have the same responsibility in the kingdom, but we are all sons alike. Is it not true? We are all sons alike, so we have the same assignment to expand the kingdom of the Father. So there must be something burning in your heart to see the Lord save. And if that thing is not burning, let me tell you what is happening. You've shut it up. Because that's the problem. There is a voice of the Spirit in your heart. You can stifle it by constant neglecting of it. Just neglect it. Just neglect it. They call you neglect it. How many of you can bear me witness that when you got born again newly, when you get into, you always want to preach. I get the point. But then gradually you have succeeded in shutting down that voice. Gradually you are shutting it down. Gradually you are ignoring it. You're ignoring it. And suddenly you can't even understand how you stand up and carry up like I preach to people. It doesn't make sense to you anymore. How do you get yourself to do that? You see how lukewarm you have become? You see how cold you've become? You see how something that is supposed to be your normal has become strange to you. You see how life now smells like death to you. Because you've ignored every promptings in your heart. Now I say this to you. And you see, every child of God, the Bible said, in the day of his power, his people shall be willing. Every child of God has a willingness in his heart. Why? This is the day of God's power. Now, if you are not burning for Jesus, you are ignoring that willingness. You are shutting it up. Did you get what I said now? In the day of his power, what is the day of his power? The day of his resurrection. I've explained that before, right? The day of his resurrection said his people shall be willing. So, every child of God, there is something burning in your heart. There is a willingness in your heart. There is a willingness to preach, which you might have shut down or you are fanning to flame. So make your feet beautiful. So I want to challenge you this morning. Now, if you're going to get involved, I'm going to address like 3-4 things that will help you. We have outreach tomorrow, okay? And that's for here in Enugu. And if you are part of our online community and you're following this service now, this teaching is supposed to launch you. Give this week too as a full outreach week in your locality, in your environment. The same way we'll be stepping out every day from 4 o'clock. Make sure you set out every day from Monday throughout this next week and next 2 weeks to reach the lost. That is our assignment now. That's your part of this church. If you don't do it, if you're not part of it, let me even say, you're not part of it, you are not just disobeying the Bible, you are disobeying me. Okay, you are disobeying the authority of the church. You must realize when your church calls for such evangelical meetings, you should be excited to be part of it. You know why? You don't realize that in the Old Testament, you could not even do it, even if you had the passion to do it. Except you are from the tribe of Levi. And you are not. You're not even Israelite in the first place. You're not even a Jew. I don't get the point. You could not even do it. You could not even speak for Jehovah. You're not an Israelite. So it's a privilege. You know the Bible says it's through God's mercies we receive this ministry. So the ministry we received is even out of God's mercy that we are doing ministry. The moment, you know, I normally say this, the moment you begin to see ministry like you're doing God a favor, then you're in a big mess. It's amazing. It's amazing how the president or the governor of a country would give you an appointment and you rejoice and call it a privilege. But the Almighty gives you an assignment. You call it sacrifice. I get what I'm saying? It's a privilege that we are working for him. If the governor says, I've made you my special, or I've made you my ambassador, or be the governor says you're an ambassador, you say, such a privilege, I'm so privileged. But then our God, the creator of the universe, gives you an assignment, and you feel, maybe I'm trying, we are suffering for the Lord. For the Lord, you must begin to see that even ministry is by his mercy. It's a privilege that we are doing it. Because I tell you the truth, you are not even qualified to do it. I get what I'm saying. So you must begin to count it a great honor. You see how Paul will refer to himself. He said, he talks about the high calling he received of God. Because the high calling. But we're going to see it is a high calling, an esteemed call, an esteemed privilege to be sharing the message of the kingdom. So make your feet beautiful. Amen. Make your feet beautiful. Now, in stepping out, let me address one or two things. One of the things I'm going to talk about is selecting your target. You know, for instance, when you get into one-on-one evangelism, maybe you get into a marketplace, there are a lot of persons there. So the question is always, how do I know who to approach? Okay, maybe it's not one-on-one evangelism. Even if you want to get into mission, how do I know which city to go to? How do I know where to focus on and all that? And the answer is very simple. In Acts 16 verse 6, we see a classic example of Paul and his people and how they were able to select the exact city they went to. I'll show you Acts, I'll show you Paul, and I'll show you one more person. Now, say when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and we are forbidden of the Holy Ghost to Galatia, okay, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. They asked to the man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So how did they decide where they were going to go to? It was strictly by the leading of the Spirit. And that's why whenever I teach on evangelism, I always want you to know that it's a spiritual thing. And if you are going to get to evangelism by the leading of the Spirit, you are going to have a lot of answers. Are you what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? You're going to have a lot of results. By the leading of the Spirit, you can begin to reach men. Now, they wanted to get there and Lord said no. So when you step out, for instance, I've taught on divine leading here. When you step out, for instance, you want to go and win a soul, okay, and you, as you're moving, it doesn't mean you have to be shouting on the road and praying in the tongues. No, you can be muttering in the Holy Ghost and observing and watch as God will lead you to who to talk to. You have been praying, okay? Your prayers that you've prayed has gone into the hearts of some men. You must be able to pick those men by the Spirit. Are you getting me? Are you getting what I'm saying? Because, of course, we are sent to everybody. That's the truth. But then, when you have limited time like this to preach, it's always advised that you walk through open doors. Are you following me? And so, by the leading of the Spirit, now, when the Bible said the Lord, the Spirit forbade them for preaching in so-so place, does it mean God hated those people? No. It means for now, they are not ready for what is about to come to them. Okay, by the time you get further to Acts 19, you will now find out that the Bible said in verse 8. Look at verse 8 of Acts 16. Verse 9. Okay, no, go back. There's a place that said, a verse that said, either verse 6 or verse 7 that said that they were forbidden of God to preach the word in Asia. Yes, very well. That's verse 6. So they were forbidden. But then by the time you now get to Acts 19, the Lord has allowed them. They went to Ephesus. Ephesus is Asia. By the time you get to verse 20, the Bible said, so mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. In fact, in that Acts 19, towards verse 10 or so, see that the whole city of Asia heard the word of God. The whole city of Asia. So, but as at this time, in Acts 16, the Lord forbid them from going there. Are you know what I'm talking about? So there is a place for following divine leading in meeting people. Because have you found out in evangelism that some of the people you think would respond quickly are the ones that may not really respond? And some of them you think will not even look at you
are the ones that will finally get interested and follow you. That's why it's not a carnal thing. I didn't get the point. It's not a carnal thing. And so you select whatever by the Spirit. You find this again in Acts chapter 8, verse 29. You find the story of Philip. After he had finished in Samaria, Bible says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him. That was the Ethiopian Enoch. So how did Philip decide, I'm going to preach to this guy? The Spirit said, that doesn't mean I'm not going to preach to anybody except the Holy Ghost says to me. Okay? I'm not saying as you are moving, you are listening to an audible voice. Let me just hear what God is going to say now. Let me show you another example that will make this easier. Sometimes it's not the Holy Ghost saying. Sometimes it's just a knowing. I get what I'm saying. Because you need to, when we talk about divine leading, you know I'm not talking about God shouting into your ear. Sometimes it's just a knowing. Sometimes it's not even a knowing. Sometimes it's a steering. Look at Acts 17 verse 16. In Acts 17 verse 16, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the whole city giving to idolatry. What did he do next? Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. So he began to talk to them. How? He didn't hear, but then there was something that stirred his heart. I didn't get the point. So you could see some people, and that is, it's not like you hear something, but there is this stirring in your heart towards this person. Follow that person and talk to him. I get what I'm saying. Once you feel that steering, once you feel that burden, once you feel it, you find out in Acts 18 too. Acts 18 verse 5. It says, and when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews. See different languages. The other one, he was steered. This other one, he was pressed. He can come to you anyhow. You can just be pressed in the spirit over, talk to this guy. And so when you sense that pressing, go after it, even if it doesn't look like it. Are you getting me? So you select your target, either an individual or a crowd or whatever, this way. When you sense that pressing in your heart, you follow. You know, and one of the things I'm going to explain to you this morning is the need to present the gospel in its simplicity. In its simplicity. The gospel is simple. Sometimes you need someone to help confuse you. And the gospel is simple. You only need someone to help confuse you. First of all, what is the gospel? Simply put, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. From verse 1, Paul will say, I deliver unto you that which I also received. In verse 3, he said, I deliver unto you that which I also received. He said, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So Paul says, this is the gospel he received. And this is the gospel he preached. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins, that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose again. And so the gospel is simply what I just told you. What is the gospel again? Come on, talk back to me. What's the gospel again? Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. Now, so when someone believes this, the person has believed the gospel. But listen to me carefully. When we are talking about believing this, we are not talking about believing a historical fact. Because almost everybody, not almost everybody, because some people don't believe it. But then, many people believe that Jesus died and rose again. Historically. So they say, well, if that's what means you're born again, then I'm born again. What it means is to believe the spiritual implication of that event. And so if you go further to verse 17, Paul will now begin to explain the spiritual implication of that event. Verse 17. Verse 17. Look at the screen.
He said, and if Christ be not raised, what did he say? Your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. And so what is the implication of the fact that Christ has been raised? That you are no more in your sins. Are you following me this morning? And so when we say believe that Christ was from the dead, what are we saying in essence? Believe that you are no more in your sins. And so the gospel is to tell people that Christ has died and Christ has risen, and by the because of that, your sins have been taken care of. When that person believes that because of Christ's death, he's no more a sinner, his sins have been forgiven, that is salvation. You must be able in evangelism to present this in the simplest form. Now, look at why I'm saying this. One thing you must know in preaching the gospel in evangelism is that nothing can save the sinner except the gospel. Did you get the point? And so if you don't get the gospel right, the person may say, I believe, but he's not saved. Remember the process of salvation we started with? Somebody have to hear something. And so his salvation is based on what he heard. And so if he heard the wrong thing, then he's not saved. Come on, are you getting me at all? That is why when you go to preach and you're telling people that Jesus can give them money, what you are stating is a fact. Is it? But that is not the gospel. When you're telling them that Jesus can heal them, you are stating a fact. They can even receive their healing in the process. But that is not the gospel. You know, the Bible says in Romans 1 verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So whenever I get to this point, I always tell you that the gospel does not have power. The gospel is the power. Do you get the point? It's not like when you preach the gospel, the power of God will move. No. When you are preaching the gospel, you are releasing power. It is power itself. It is the power that can save. So when you do not preach it in its purity, it's not going to save it. Nobody's going to save. Get saved. That's why the gospel, for instance, is not repent or you perish. You get the point? The gospel is not God, sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not hell is real. Now, are you saying hell is not real? Hell is real. That's a fact. Heaven is real. That's a fact. That is not the gospel. I don't even get the point. The gospel must contain the details of the fact that Jesus died and rose again and has paid for sins, and that you should believe it. And so you must be able to present this in its simplicity. It's okay. I will still touch that today. It's okay. I understand you can meet people and notice that they are sick and you begin to minister healing to them. That's a beautiful thing to do during outreach. But before you do that, or after you do it, make sure you present the gospel to them. I didn't get the point. Because it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. And so, I want to show you one of the easiest things, one of the things you should learn to do is that you should simplify the gospel. There are many ways you can preach the gospel. Okay, there are many ways you can preach it to say the same thing. What I mean is, I'll give you two examples. In John chapter 3, Jesus met Nicodemus. Okay, look at the terms that he was using for Nicodemus. I'm going to use this as an example. He said, I tell you the truth, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? How can I get into my mother's womb again? He said, except to be born of water and born of spirit. You see, and Nicodemus understood. They just spoke. Why? The guy was a Pharisee. Then in John chapter 4, Jesus will meet this Samaritan woman who was just normal runs here. We're just there. His language had to change. I didn't get the point. He was still preaching the gospel, but he didn't have to start talking about born of water. If I take the gospel, for instance, look at the message Peter preached on the day of Pentecost.
He preached from history almost. You observed? We're going to tell them about how the Lord led them out of how Moses did this. And they were flowing because they understood what he was saying. And so your job in preaching is to make the person understand. That's why you must be able to simplify it to the person's understanding. You can't call a child, for instance, you want to preach the gospel to a child, and you're saying some things. Or you go to preach to a person, and you say, when you believe in Jesus, you receive Zoe. Zoe is the God kind of life. You are just talking. Now, what you are saying is true, but it's not useful. Because you must be able to simplify. That's why I normally, one of the easiest ways I simplify the gospel is, I like using simple scriptures and simple translations. I don't get the point. Simple scriptures and simple translations. Scriptures that are common. That's why you notice even when I teach here, I always say, put up NLT. You know why? It's not as though I don't like I'm using King James to teach, and then sometimes after we read the verse, you don't even understand anything, but I'm still teaching. But I know the aim of the message is so that you understand. So if you have not understood it, then I have not taught well. And so put up NLT. You begin to see scriptures like John 3:16 that we have been quoting every day, that even the unbeliever can quote. You can start from there. There are simple scriptures I'll suggest. For God loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish. Do you know, this verse is gospel. Let me show you something else. Go to verse 15. If you read and explain this verse from 15 to 19, you've done a good job. Look at this. So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Okay? For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Look at verse 17. For God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. Simple scriptures that just go to show that the only way to be saved is to believe in Jesus. Okay? Of course, you know what believing in Jesus means? It's not believing that there is Jesus. You understand? Even Satan believes there is Jesus. Even Muslims believe there is Jesus. It's not what they believe about him. I didn't get a point. And so what do you believe about him? You believe the Father has paid for sins. That's, for instance, John 5:24. I'm just giving you scriptures that can help you when you step out from tomorrow. Amen? John 5 verse 24. He said, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins. I use this scripture a lot. This scripture a lot for evangelism. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. So you begin to show the person that there is no condemnation for your sins again. Using the scripture. So even sometimes when the person is a learned person and we can flow, sometimes I have the scriptures in my head, so I'll give you the Bible. And I ask you to read that verse for yourself. What do you think? Hallelujah. I give you a very simple translation. So I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe it, say they will never be condemned for their sins again. Say, do you believe that? You say yes. You know, you're sharing it with person. Simple translations that can help the person get better. Another one, for instance, is Galatians 2 verse 16. Galatians 2 verse 16. He said, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith. You know, that's why I said, use simple translations. If you use King James for this, how did he just render it? It's very correct too. But how did he render it? Knowing that a man is not justified. You now have to start explaining to the person what justified means. Are you what I'm talking about at all? Say, justified means to be made right with God. Person will say, ah, my sure is correct. So go back to our New Living Translation. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ and not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. So you are trying to show the person that the only thing that will make him right with God is that he believes in Jesus and not by his works. Scriptures upon scriptures, that because one of the easiest ways to evangelize, I tell you, is to make every point with a scripture. Okay? With a scripture that is so clear and glaring. So that if the person wants to argue, he's so sure he's arguing with the Bible. And not with you. I didn't get the point. He's so sure he's arguing with the Bible and not with you. Many scriptures I can show. Acts 13, for instance. I think Acts 13, verse 38. Right? Yeah. Acts 13, verse 38. He says, Brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man, Jesus, there is what? Forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is declared right with God. Something the law of Moses could never do. Powerful scriptures. I didn't get the point. That you open the person's eyes and person will be like, oh wow. And so you use simple scriptures. There are many. Let me give you a chance. Give me one. Huh? 2 Corinthians 5 verse. Okay. Let's look at this verse 17. See if. If anyone be in Christ. NLT say this means this. Go to NLT. Let's use it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You see how simple it is? You can now go down. Verse 18. We'll talk about all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Verse 19 will now be wonderful to the person. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful episode of consideration. By the time you read verse 20 and read verse 21, 22, 20 talks about how we are God's ambassadors. Verse 21, we now nail it. Say, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So you're trying to show it, but these are very simple scriptures. Give me another one. Romans 4 verse 5. Very powerful scriptures with NLT. But Romans 4 verse 5 is very powerful. He said, but people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. I didn't get the point. So there are a couple of scriptures. Another one? Romans 10:25, okay. 3:20. Romans 5 verse 8. That's God commanded his love to us. 2. Okay, from verse 2 down. From 8, okay. The powerful scriptures. Okay, Romans 5 8. God commanded his love towards us. You mentioned 10:25. Are you sure? 3:20. Okay, put up 3:20. No one can be declared right with God. Yes. Said, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Okay, very powerful. Another scripture like this is Romans 10. Romans 10 from verse 1. These are scriptures that can drive home salvation. He said, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and prayer to God for the people of Israel is to be saved. Okay. I know what enthusiasm. There are some people you meet. This because I'm still get to different people you can meet. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplish the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. You can't argue with scriptures like this. You get what? You can't. You can't. And so you go with scriptures. So one of the ways to simplify the gospel is, don't try to bring complex scriptures that you need to use your Greek. You need to connect or say there's a principle called first principle of first mention in Bible study, and there's another one called corroborative evidence. And let's just say Korea, cause you ever. I say no more vernacular shit. Okay. Praise God. So what am I owing now? Praise God. And so you find out, so you explain what Jesus did. Of course, one powerful scripture that is always good to show before you leave is Romans 10 verse 9. Okay, Romans 10 verse 9. That's it. We saw it this one, a very popular passage of scripture. See, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you just show the scripture, and then you now show the person the implication of the resurrection, which is that from 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17. So, because by the time you show this scripture, a very normal person will assume, is it not just to believe that God is from the dead? Okay, I believe. You now show the person, look at what it means. It means that you are no more in your sins. So you show the person that the fact of Christ's resurrection is actually the teaching of forgiveness. So you explain that, as simple as you present that, as short as it can be, if you can communicate well, you have preached the gospel. So keep it very simple. Praise God. Keep it very simple. Now let me rush through something that we all are familiar with. There are different kinds of people you can meet when you go to preach the gospel. You know, different categories. All of them are sinners. What I want to show with this is everybody that is not saved is a sinner. Just that demon in their head, that out of unbelief, will disguise in so many ways. Are you getting me? For instance, there are some people that are indifferent. They don't care. They don't care whether they are saved. They don't care whether they are not saved. It's not their business. Now, you can meet such people. Have you? You are going to preach them. Say, where was this one? Preaching again. I beg, be going. You can also meet another sort of people, for instance, who have a misunderstanding of salvation. Some of them believe salvation is by going to church. Some others will believe salvation is by baptism. I didn't get the point. Others will believe salvation is by their works. That some of, under this category, you find self-righteous people who believe that they're trying. Say, are you born again? Say, hey now, how do you know? And you know it's because they feel they're trying their best. But all of them are unbelievers, so I hope you know. That some other people, their own is very, those people are easier to help. They believe that salvation is difficult. That the Christian life is tough. And so that's why they don't want to give it a try. You know, have you gone to preach some people and they tell you things like, I don't really have strength for this church thing now. Have you? Because they believe this whole thing is hard. So these are the different kinds of people that you can meet as you step out to preach the word. Okay? There are some other people in my notes. This is not vernacular. I just wrote it like that in my notes, so allow me. There are some other people we call the oversabi. When you meet them, they always want to show that they know something. Now, some of them are... Now, I'm not talking about when you meet people who are saved. They're not saved, though. They just want to argue over everything. Under this category, you find the atheists who are using science. You get a point. Who are using science to explain that there is no God? Painfully, some of them failed all science courses in secondary school. And are now using the same sciences they failed to prove that there is no God. You understand the point? And so, you find them that are there. In fact, the way the Bible put it in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Paul will classify those guys under the Greek. The Greek guys were like that. The Grecians were like that. You see, go back to King James. He said, but after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Okay? It pleased God by the freedom of preaching to save them that believe. Okay? Let's continue. For the Jews require a sign. He said, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's how the Greeks were. They want wisdom. They want you to talk. They're arguing. You're going to meet such people. Hallelujah. Am I letting me pause to say, don't join the argument. If you join the argument, you might win the argument and lose the soul. Did you get what I said? Don't win the argument and then you lose the soul. So, most times, when you begin to throw all those arguments, look at what Paul will say. He said, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23, he now says, but we preach Christ crucified. So, whether they're bringing an argument or they're seeking wisdom or seeking sign, what do we preach? Christ crucified. Most times, when they begin to bring, one thing I've learned to do is, I distract myself from the argument. What kind of arguments can you make face when you go to preach? Huh? Tying scarf. Why are you tying the scarf? Now, these are simple things. Now, you can imagine an unbeliever arguing that tying scarf is good. You're not even born again in the first place. So, whether tying scarf is good or bad, you are going to hell first of all. So you're not even born again, and you're trying to prove that tying scarf can take you. Once you get born again first, let's now start looking at you. But you see, the devil will pose all these things in their heart so that they cannot listen to you. And so the mistake you will make is to join the argument. I'm going to show them. No, the Bible said sometimes there are, may God give you wisdom, amen, so that you know how to distract that argument and get back into your message. Sometimes I postpone it. Sometimes you can just say, answer, I won't even change your air. He said, what of alcohol? And you're not talking about alcohol. Sometimes the person is just trying to be over savvy. Sometimes the person is feeling guilty. You get the person, he wants an answer. But you see what I'm going to do? What about question? Well, I'll tell you, well, that's a very important question. But I'll address it when I'll be rounding up. And I'll continue talking. By the time you get saved, I will not address it again. If you now remember to ask me after you've gotten saved, if I have time, I will answer you. If I don't have time, I will reschedule that meeting. It means your follow-up has started. Amen? Your discipleship has started. But then, that question, I will start running around it. No, I'm not going to answer it. Paul will always warn Timothy. He said they should avoid foolish arguments. They should know you got to preach the gospel. These Greeks, they want wisdom. There's another set of people you can meet in outreach. These people are totally guilty and they feel so condemned. They feel guilty and they feel condemned. Sometimes they are easy to reach. Sometimes they are difficult to reach. Sometimes, no matter how much the love of God you are telling them, their sin is so glaring that they don't want to let go of it. I don't get the point. So all of them are there. You're going to meet them. Now, I don't want to take them one by one, but I want to show you that no matter the category these people are, the message is the same. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23, the message remains the same. He said, whether it's the Greeks seeking wisdom, or the Jews seeking a sign, 123, not 12 rather. Whether it's the Jews seeking a sign or the Greeks seeking wisdom, he says, we preach Christ. He said the Jews are offended. The Greeks may say it's nonsense. That's people that are wise. You say, how can we preach that one? We're talking something, we're talking back. Stick with the message. You know, there's an article I did on
is atheism really the problem? How do you remember that article? I was talking about atheism. I think it's still available. I don't know where it is again. It's atheism still really the problem. What I was trying to address in that article is, people meet atheists and jump into arguments with them. The atheist is arguing about nature, arguing about what are things they argue about, arguing about crazy stuffs. And then you join the argument. You drive with him. He's showing you this, showing you that, showing you this. Showing you. And you know, personally, I can argue very well. Forget I'm now born again and I'm now cool-headed. I can argue very well. I can argue into anything and I can win any argument in this world. Just call me. I'll come. My dad used to tell me to go and study law. I'm very sincere. But then, that is not the gospel. And I once did that. I was a day, I might tell this story. I was traveling down one day. I think Mona then was in SS1. Abi? You're on SS1, she? SS2, yeah. That was the first time I met him. I didn't even know him. But I was traveling down and he was in the same bus coincidentally. There was these two guys in front. We were talking. They were saying a lot of things against Christianity and they had read very wide. When I mean they've read all these 7 books of Moses, read all those crazy materials, Book of Enoch. And then they were just saying a lot of things and trying to confuse. And me and I started arguing with them. And the problem was, everything they said, I had what to say. I had an answer. In fact, I think that day, I was in front, we were in front. We argued to a point, I would talk, the whole bus would start clapping. Mona is asking, I would talk, the whole bus would start clapping. But you know the truth? I didn't lead them to Christ though. But I won the argument. I won the argument. And I learned, I was feeling myself. I said, nonsense. People think I'll come and show. But then when I got home to pray, the Lord said, well, that was a beautiful opportunity to even preach to them. Because I had a lot of mindsets about God and I was debunking all of them. Say it's not true. They will talk, I will talk and all that. And some of the materials they were mentioning, I had read them. You know, I used to read a lot of crazy things those days. I can't try those things again. Okay, but some of them I've seen them. I said, forget that thing. That's nonsense. And they were now, you know, that's what some of them do. When you want to argue with some of those people, they were using terms that every other normal person will not understand. What are things everybody has read? And if I say, have you read the Torah? I say, yes. What is Torah? 5 books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus. Whatever. I said, I've read the Torah. I said, I've read it. And we talked and talked. The boss, they were excited. They felt I was defending the gospel. But at the end of the day, it would have been a beautiful time to win them to the Lord. What I'm trying to say is, you might succeed in winning an argument, but you might finally lose the soul. So in that article, I was saying, atheism is not really the problem. The problem is that the person is an unbeliever. Whether he's a witch, a wizard, an atheist, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, he has one problem, the sin nature. I didn't get the point. And so it's not about trying to prove to him whatever. It's about preaching the gospel. Let him believe the gospel. The same gospel that saved a liar will save the cultist. I didn't get the point. And so just that, you might choose different approaches. You might choose different approaches to do this, okay? Of course, the basic should be, you should depend on the Spirit too, like we said. Like, you know, remember when I taught you on 101 evangelism, I mentioned some approaches that you could use. You remember that? For instance, there are some people that you can meet and you just go straight with the gospel. No approach, just come straight. How are you? Fine. I bring you the gospel and then the Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, you get the point, preach the gospel straight to them. There are some others that you meet, you might have to start or initiate the process with a spiritual gift. You understand? You see, Jesus used this for the Samaritan woman. Saw her, I was like, I'll call your husband. He said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're very correct. You have 5. He says, so by that word of knowledge, the woman immediately said, I perceive that you're a prophet. And then the conversation started flowing. So, but then whenever you start with a spiritual gift, don't be distracted by it. You know, spiritual gifts can be sweet. Can be very sweet when it starts flowing. Imagine that time Jesus told the woman, you've had five husbands, and say, Jesus. The woman just shouted, Jesus, to Jesus. And said, wow, you're a prophet. Jesus would just laugh. And say, can I go deeper? You know, and then it will turn to a prophetic meeting. And she's not saved. So you find out. So what Jesus did was to stop that immediately, stop that flow, and then took her into the Bible. Because the gifts of the Spirit will not save anybody. I don't get the point. It don't save anybody. Because you can start with healing and what have you, but it's always, we always use it to get people's attention. I don't get the point. It's always to get people's attention. It's not actually the main thing. Either we use it to get people's attention, or we'll do it after the whole stuff. But that one way to start is to start with it. We've had many cases where the person is not showing interest, and you just say one thing about the person, and the person turns and looks at you and says, who are you? I say, that's what I'm telling you to listen to me. You're busy doing anyhow. Let's talk, Joe. You know, that kind of thing. And so there is a place you use that. Okay, there are places also you can, this one works for many people. You can start with questions. How many of you do this? Start with questions, thought-provoking questions. Okay, as God will lead you. There are questions like, what are you born again? Some people ask this. Some people say it's a wrong question to ask. Well, sometimes it's a wrong question to ask because most people think they are born again, but they are not. But listen, when you ask that question, don't stop there. When a person says, yes, I am, or no, I'm not, you should be able to follow it up with things like, but what do you think it means to be born again? That is where you are going to find the real answer. I didn't get the point. Because you've seen, are you born again? Yes. What do you think it means to be born again? Say, it's not to be trying. I'm trying to be a good person. Keep the Ten Commandments. Live your life well. Live your life well. I know nobody's righteous. But you just have to be trying. Once you hear that answer, you know he's not born. It doesn't matter whether he's a prayer secretary in church. You understand, he's not born again. He said, But you don't be that harsh. You don't say, you're not born again. No. But you can say, well, that's a good answer. But actually, that's not really what the Bible teaches. You now start opening scriptures. That to be born again. So you can start with questions. Questions like, are you born again? Things like, that's a question I used to ask people. I used to have five killer questions those days. If I ask you the five of them, you must drop dead for the gospel. Amen. There are many questions you can ask. But by the time we ask you, do you think that if you die now, you're going to go to heaven? It looks like a gang question. And some people are just in a hurry to say, they would say, I don't know. It depends. And then the next question that will now follow is, okay, so what qualifies someone for heaven? Okay, because I asked one lady one day, those days, I said, what do you think you'll go to heaven? She just kept quiet for some time and said yes. And I perceived in my spirit immediately that she just confessed her sins and now told me yes. So I told her, I smiled, I said, why did you say yes? Because you confessed your sins, right? He said, how did you know? I said, I know what you did. I said, what if you didn't confess that your sin and then rapture happened? Would you still go to heaven? He said, well, I don't know. It's by grace. I said, you see your problem with this one. So from there, I got her attention. You know, Jesus would use conversations to engage people. For that woman, it was even a casual conversation. It was, give me water to drink. I didn't get the point.
And so you can start with questions. Okay, let's, because I said it's supposed to be a training, so let's just see. Give me a couple of questions you can use or you've used. Give me examples of questions now. Just, you don't know. Do you think you are perfect? How do you know that God loves you? Okay. Are you a good person? Okay. Many other questions. Okay. Okay, would you like to know whether you are going to heaven or not? Very important thing. Everybody wants to know. They say, yes, I want to know. Praise God. So these are things you can engage. So once you come in with those questions. And so, but then my point is, you can start with whichever approach you want. But at the end of the day, the message must never be adulterated. I don't get the point. And what will determine sometimes the approach you start with would be the leading of the Spirit in your heart, okay? And then it can also be the kind of person you met with all these things we described. If you meet someone, for instance, that is very, very self-righteous, you need to show scriptures, more scriptures that will prove that we are not saved by works. I didn't get the point. This is like Romans 4 verse 5 and all those. You have to show more scriptures that show that we are not saved by works. So it depends on the kind of person you met. Okay, if you meet a very guilty person, there should be a lot of scriptures flowing on God's forgiveness, God's love, God's acceptance. So that's why most times I normally say, in stepping out for outreach, I normally say you mustn't necessarily, especially if it's one-on-one, you mustn't necessarily prepare a message, except you are going to preach. For instance, there is a part of this outreach now that is market evangelism, where one person have to hold the mic, you get the point, and is talking to the people or talking to a school, stuff like that. That's part of it. But then you might have to prepare a message, trusting the Lord that He will speak through you to reach the different persons that are there. But then when you are going to meet people on one-on-one basis, as you're stepping in, let the Lord lead you with the first one. That's why this is not a good interpretation, the best interpretation, but that's why I apply scriptures like, open your mouth and I'll feel it. Okay, I just get there, I don't know what to say, but once I just get there and I open my mouth, something will start coming, and I'm sure that thing is correct. I didn't get the point. And so you come in whatever approach, so choose your approach based on the leading of the Spirit, and then maybe the kind of person that you met. Now, when you have explained the gospel to the person, when you've explained the gospel to the person, I think the next job now is getting the person to make the commitment. Okay? To, of course, the commitment, which is to believe in Jesus and all that, which is not a difficult thing to do. You have to, when you're preaching or teaching someone, you have to be watching closely. You see? To see when the person has believed. Do you observe that when you are preaching, when the person believes, you know? Now, it doesn't mean, sometimes they say it. Watch the person to see. When he begins to concur with very important gospel statements that you are making, you know that his heart has opened up. It doesn't mean he will understand everything you are saying. But once you see his heart has opened up, you just know he has belief. You just know. Sometimes there will be this relief on him. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes when you begin to sense it, you can now ask, do you believe these things? Hallelujah. Do you believe? He can say, yes, I believe. You get the point? And so you begin to watch to see. You will know when it happens. That's why I told you evangelism is a spiritual thing. It's not something you do casual, though you do have set-minded. You get the point? It's something your whole being is involved in. You are talking, you are watching the person, you are listening to the Spirit of God to get words for the person, to know which direction to hit. You are looking at the person's eye, you are talking, you are watching his mouth. You know, you want to know whether he's really saying. Hallelujah. So you are preaching. So once you sense
It has come. You lead the person to make confessions. I've always explained to you that it's not confessions that will save us. It doesn't save anybody. Nobody is saved by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Nobody. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible said we are saved by believing the gospel. But the Bible says we believe and we confess. It is not a confession. Confess, there is the Greek word homologio. Homologio means to say the same thing. And so to confess the gospel is to say the same thing that you have believed in your heart. And so when the person has believed, you now lead the person and will make some confessions. And when you are doing this, always do it with a lot of joy and enthusiasm, so that the person will even understand the quality of what he received. Do you get the point? And say, let's do this. Say, thank you, Jesus, because I am righteous. I am saved. I'm no more a sinner. I'm now righteous. I'm a saint. Right now, I'm a citizen of heaven. Hell has lost me forever. Satan has lost me forever. I am redeemed. I'm liberated. I'm sanctified. I am free in Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. You are celebrating with the person. You are leading the person to make that confession. The confession is affirming what he has believed in his heart already. I didn't get the point. As you lead person with the confession, then once you are done with that, of course, the next thing is, as you are doing that, you take a little more time, as I always say, to explain to the person the implication of what just happened to him. You know, most people don't have the joy of salvation because they don't even understand salvation. How do we get the point? So you show them that something has happened to you. And this one is very important. When you are doing it, make sure you are doing it with joy. Because you understand what it is. You can't be telling somebody, well, this now means that you are now righteous, sanctified. So, if you like, you take it. If you like, don't take it. I'm just telling you. But as this part of, sister, you just believe the gospel. You say yes. You say, wow, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. You know how excited I am that you are now born again. You know what this means? It means you are now God's son. If you guys are two there, you guys should be rejoicing with each other. Let the person see that, so that she can even rejoice with two people and understand what has happened. I didn't get the point. So you don't go to evangelism, just the other person is preaching, you're pressing phone. What's wrong with you? I prophesied, right? What's wrong with you? So as you say, you know, you just believe the gospel. My God. You know what it means? It means you are now God's son. What it means is that God can never reject you again. I'm telling you, let me show you in the Bible. Let me show you. God can never reject you again. You are just talking. The person is getting. You need to let him know that he has hit jackpot. You understand? You need to let him know that something has happened to him. He needs to appreciate it. You need to appreciate it. And so, at that point, you are bringing the person into that joy. The joy of what they have just received. You know, many people are saved. They don't even appreciate salvation. They don't even know what it is. Even some people, it's when you now begin to explain salvation to them, they find out that they have been saved. I didn't get the point. So, you celebrate with them. Explain to them what has happened to him. And of course, you establish contact with him. Very important. I will stop here and pick up from here on Thursday because of our time. You establish contact with him, and this is very important. You establish contact with him and invite the person to church. Now listen, I will pick up from here on Thursday. Don't be fond of, if you see, that's one of the reason why, okay, I'm coming to this. Don't be fond of going to the farm, harvesting your crop and then leaving the harvest and coming home. You get the point? When you harvest, you gather your harvest. You don't want it to spoil, right? You want your seed, your harvest to grow. So you've won a soul, gather the harvest. Don't be fond of just getting people and leaving them. That's why even in some places where we don't have a church family, we have created online streaming centers already in so many places. By the way, celebrate our online church very well. Celebrate them. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of them are
We have people following from different places in Nigeria, from Lagos, from Imo State, from I think we have from Delta State and some other states. We have from the US. I think one person from the US. We have some persons from South Africa and all that following up. So I'm saying this for a reason. That even though you are following there and there's no church family there, that's why we've created room for to have online streaming centers where you can call them, so that when you win souls, you want to see them grow. If not, you're going to see them tomorrow and they're not anything. You don't even know that you want them before. So you get their contact, establish contact with them, and then bring them to church. I'll talk more on this, on follow, how to really follow up people that you have won to Christ. I'll talk about it on Thursday. Praise God. But then for this week, we step out. Amen. And I want to close by saying to you, we are actually able to do this. The Bible said he has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Able ministers. Able ministers. Able ministers. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you." He said, "And you shall be my witnesses." And so the first reason the Holy Ghost was given to us is to enable us to witness for Jesus. Say, "I have power." Oh, come and say, "I have power." I have power to be a witness. You must be talking. Say, "I have power to be a witness." He has given us power. He said, "When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he empowers you to reach the lost." He empowers you. And so, because you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you can reach the lost. And what's more, I'm going to be praying for you this morning. Hallelujah. There is something called, you know, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 verse 31. That's why we led us to pray throughout last week. In Acts chapter 4 verse 31, the Bible said, after they had prayed, the place where they were was shaken. And they went out and preached the word of God with boldness. And so there is boldness. It doesn't matter whether you are scared or not. If I touch your head, fear will disappear. If I lay hands on you, that boldness will jump into you. Because he said, when they prayed, the whole place was shaken. And they preached the word of God with boldness. He said, there is no fear when we want to preach. There is no fear. The Bible told us he has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity. Your feet does not knock when you go to preach. You don't do that. You walk with boldness. You are carrying the word of life. They may not know, but you know, Ash. You know, Sha. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Show that video. Are you getting me? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just have one or two more things to share with us. Boldness. Habaranana mashina nio gabarose atiake. Manelo zibaratso kolomoshi de ada krabo zadian. Ha, glory, 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 glory. What I want to show you now, look up. What I want to show you in this video is, it's nothing new. It's something you've known. But I want to see you. I want to show you. It's a material from Christ for All Nations. Something that is happening currently in Tanzania. A massive outreach. And I was going over it, and Lord said I should show it. This is what is going to be happening as we step out. Hallelujah. We're going to have massive record of men saved. Okay. Massive record of men saved. Praise the God. Glory of the Lord takes over the earth. As the water covers the sea, we are not going to stop. Our feet is beautiful. Our feet is beautiful. Talk in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Talk in the Holy Ghost. Talk in the Holy Ghost. We are able to go up. We can take any country. We can possess the land from Jordan to any sea. We can possess the land from every coast to every coast. Even though the giants stand on our way to hinder, go
God alone gives us victory. God alone gives us victory. And so we are not shaken. Let me hear you pray. If you are following these meetings online, you should begin to have your own plans now, because throughout this week, you need to be reporting back to your pastor online on how you've been reaching out all this while. Just go ahead and pray. Shamamana namash. Shigalaba lagados. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I want to hear you. Something is rising in this place, if you can sense it. Something is rising, if you can sense it. That's the power of God. Help her, help her, help her. Something is rising in this place, if you can sense it. Something is rising here, if you can sense it. The power of God is sweeping through this place. If you can sense it, the power of God is sweeping through this place. Just go ahead and pray until our cities are lighted with the truth of the gospel. Hey. Hey, hey, something is rising. Produce of prayer. Iyaka, ekeya. Iyaka, ekeya. Iyaka, peteya. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can sense it. It's like it's a fire shot up in your bones. You can sense it. No, it's not here. You can sense it. Just go ahead. You have a lot of praying to do this morning. So begin to pray with every intensity until the place we are is shaken. I will preach the word with boldness. Until the place we are gets shaken up, I will preach the word with boldness. And so you don't stop. You don't stop. You don't stop. You don't stop. Oh, my feet is beautiful. Ayaga ba yaga yaga ya balado shaba barana na baba sharia.
Come on, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. Emanana bash. Emanala basha tayaga. Egabalaga laga yaga yaga na bashaga da 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 baba shandia. Idelele baba bara da 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 na baba baba shandia. Inamama na neneti na 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 la baba baba shandia. Emete, emete, matina, evate, mantele, pareke, sute, 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 paneke, leborata, yaga. So much, so much, so much, so much, so much, so much. Just go ahead and pray. There's an impartation of boldness. 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 Yes. Yes. An impartation of fervency. Fervency, utterance, 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 utterance. You just know what to say. You just know how to say it. You just know what to say. Yes. Ah. Yes. 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 An impartation of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God to navigate through outreach. The wisdom of God to answer difficult questions. The wisdom of God to reach difficult people. The wisdom of God to minister to difficult people. The wisdom of God to solve difficult problems. That impartation is right on you. Ha! Hey! Hey! Hey, Bayaga! Hey, Bayaga! Hey, Babadagash! The wisdom of God, impartation of fortings, boldness, fervency, utterance, wisdom. Boldness, fervency, utterance, wisdom. Boldness, fervency, utterance, wisdom. 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 Just go ahead. Something is rising. Just go ahead. Ha. Manena gash. Manena gash. Manena gash. Zebaladash. Zebaladash. Something is rising. E kaman anashandia. Baleko sutele karate. Karate. Kababash. Onana seke matish. Matiga. 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 Matiga, matiga, ivamole kia marata, zukuku matiga, inamashandele kromate yagada, an impartation of the wisdom of God. Boldness that comes by the Spirit, that's the anointing. Boldness and fervency, tearings that comes from the Spirit. Iagalaba shandia, zokeleba radash, an impartation of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, the wisdom of God. Peshigaleya, Peshigaleya, Matuneke, Matuneke, Suke Mate, Matule Krikatekeke, Matekeke, 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 Vunelena, Jitetele, Ole Mane, Arania, Niania, Nafu Mekeke, Sumane, Matulekaya, Yabababababababashandia. The wisdom of God. Boldness by the Spirit. Come, lift your hands. Boldness by the Spirit. By the anointing. Wisdom of God. Eyana mashande yakala da 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 ba ra ba 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 la ba 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 shande. Yekere masune kamo sulaha. Eyada da 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 ba ba shida la keyama keyama. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, Matia Gata Gabashanda, fervency, rising on your inside, fervency, strong one. Ilagabarata da Baba Bashanda, the wisdom of God, fervency by the Spirit, boldness, fervency by the Spirit, Malekania Doshanda, divine wisdom,
The wisdom of God rests on you to handle difficult issues, to handle difficult situations. They are an impartation of the wisdom of God. An impartation of the wisdom of God. An impartation of the wisdom of God. Mandeka ya. Ule bashikarate ya. Mandata la babashanya. An impartation of the wisdom of God. The hand of God resting upon you. That is boldness given unto you. Hey, Mandata bashadia de gobo sani. Ayagalagalagalagalagalagalaga bashanya. Hey, yage. That's the power of God on your inside. An impartation of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God to navigate. The wisdom of God to navigate you. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God, right now, you know, wisdom of God, utterance by the Spirit. By the Spirit of God. Higher. An impartation of divine wisdom. Divine wisdom. An impartation of divine wisdom. Tishikema proneti. Funasi glikri giga, an impartation of divine wisdom. Divine wisdom, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God to answer difficult questions, to save difficult sinners. The wisdom of God. Right now, that impartation is strong on everyone. On everyone. On everyone. Just talking other tongues everywhere. Talking other tongues. Talking other tongues everywhere. Talking other tongues. If you're following us online, come down a little. If you're following us online, just pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're following us online, this is the time to lift your hands because I have an impartation for you on Facebook, on MixLR. Lift your hands, that place you are. This same anointing is resting upon you right there. The wisdom of God, boldness by the Spirit, fervency in your heart, utterance by the Spirit. Right now, it comes upon you right now. That's a steering, it comes like a steering. Just go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost, it comes like a steering, and the hand of God rests upon you. Imparting wisdom to you. Know how to handle difficult situations. You know what to say, where to say it, how to say it, how to say it. You have boldness to say it. Boldness to say it. Boldness to say it. Everybody lift up your two hands. There's an impartation for miracles. These hands are miracle hands. Dozens are miracle hands. Dozens are miracle hands. Dozens are miracle hands. I said, dozens are miracle hands. Dozens are miracle hands. Dozens are miracle hands. Anyone dozens touches the power of God, Ayagabash, dozens, 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 dozens are miracle hands. Dozens. There's a sweeping of the power of God. It's going to go from the choir side down to this side by the push. That's a sweeping of the power of God. That's a sweeping of the power of God. That's a sweeping of the power of God. Sabaladash. Dozens. Dozens are miracle hands. Dozens are miracle hands. Dozens are miracle hands. Dozens are miracle hands. My hands are miracle hands. My hands are miracle hands. My hands are anointed for the miraculous. I'm still getting this strongly. Some of you online, you are going to feel the power of God tangibly. This month, hey Abba, this month, we will see souls saved. Souls saved in their numbers. miracle hands. Karasta ahabarata yakabarotusi. Spectacular miracles. Spectacular miracles. Growths disappearing. Growths disappearing. Skin rashes disappearing. Skin rashes disappearing. Short legs growing out. Short limbs growing out. Short limbs growing out. Boils disappearing. Kidney issues handled. Terminal diseases being healed. Blood issues being fixed. Blood issues being fixed by your hands. Hey, manana, those hands are miracle hands. Hey, manana, now those hands are miracle hands. Oh, but they cannot. Those hands are miracle hands. The miracle hands. The miracle hands. Just be talking in tongues. The miracle hands. Hey, the miracle hands. Hey. Hey, the miracle hands, the miracle hands, the miracle hands. Hey, hey. Hey, the miracle hands. Bible said, he said, after they prayed, the place was shaken, and they preached the word with boldness. The Lord confirming their words with signs and wonders. Boldness comes with signs. Yeah. Boldness comes with signs. Boldness with signs and wonders. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. Bring it down. I'll give you 3 more minutes. Talk in the Holy Ghost fervently. Fervently. Before we close. Fervently. Pray in the Holy Ghost fervently. Fervently before we close. This is the kind of service we bargained for. It's been hovering all over here since the opening prayer. Amala Shadia. Yagalaba Shataya.
My heart desire and I you alone.
Much more results, much more results, much more results, much more results. Yes, much more results, much more results, much more results. In this week, much more results, much more results, much more results, much more, much more, much more results, much more results, much more results, much more, ah yeah, much more results. Hey, yeah, much more results, much more results. In this new week, much more results. Much more results, much more fruitfulness, more men saved. I hear God say, much more wisdom to answer difficult questions and to save the toughest of sinners. Much more wisdom, much more wisdom, much more wisdom. Hallelujah. Much more results, much more results. Hallelujah. You can go back. I pray for you. God bless you. Much more results, much more results, much more results, much more. Much more. Much more. You've always desired the power of God. You will see it and it will shock you. You will see it and it will shock you. You will. Thank you.
death for the world has sold my soul. Long yet after day, hey, you are Lord of my heart, desire and my God.
It's tearing up a fervency in you to see results and miracles. Hallelujah. Much more fervency. Much more stirring of fervency. Hallelujah. Much more stirring of fervency. Hallelujah. Much more inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands. Let's do that song. You alone. We're going to worship with that song. Yes.
Desire and I long to worship you.
Yes, 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 yes.
You
look not yet.
Inquiry or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.